Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to the Happiness Is podcast with me, your host, Bruce Aitchison from Happiness Egg Shaped. And today, the thing in my head is that song from the 90s. I think it was EMF, International Bright Young Thing. Have we got an international and somebody who is shining very, very bright? Everybody's talking. Teammates, pundits, commentators, anybody that knows anything about this game knows that the future is very, very bright. And she's just a magnificent human. So let's not waste any more time and bring in Scotland International, the one and the only Emma Orr. Hello.
Hello.
I love it. Now, you're talking to us from university because although a rugby player, you're also studying. What is it you're studying? Where are you and what are you up to just now?
Yeah, so I apologise for the ugly kind of background at the moment. I'm at uni now. I'm studying agriculture, so I'm in second year. At Edinburgh campus. So that's where I am right now.
You must be on all the posters, are you not? Is it not come here, Emma Orr goes here?
No, absolutely not. I'm a nobody here.
I'm a nobody here. And farming life is still the life for you? You're on the farm, you're having to graft, there's no going home and put your feet up?
No, I go home to get probably more work, to be honest. I think Dad quite likes it when I'm home because it means he's got an extra pair of hands.
You obviously love it though.
Yeah, no, I do. I absolutely love it. I wouldn't change like my upbringing or anything like that for the world, to be honest.
And lots of people talk about farmer strength, so you can go in the gym and you can lift weights and you can do all that stuff, but there's this special quality that farmers have that they just seem to be able to move mountains and carry things and throw things. You've completely got that, haven't you?
I don't know if I do, to be honest. I do think it is a thing, farmer strength, but no, I'm maybe not the best example of it.
You must be a member of the Young Farmers. That's one of the craziest institutions going.
Yeah, you put it well there, to be honest. It is a bit mental, but I absolutely love it.
And you take part in all the sporting stuff when they put on, I remember many moons ago, umpiring a Young Farmers hockey game. And you don't even know what this surface is, but it was on ash. Astroturf, it was on ash. And it was just daft farmers running around with a stick hitting each other. They didn't need an umpire. They just needed a cage. and it was, but they loved it. They were so enthusiastic. That's what it's like, isn't it? When you get off the farm and you get a chance to play, it's just becoming a kid again.
Oh, pretty much. It's a, you've summed up quite well there. It's a dangerous game when farmers have got hockey sticks and they don't abide by many rules, to be honest.
No, they didn't. Umpiring it was one of the toughest things I've ever had to do. So young farmer from Bigger, and then I would imagine small town means you play everything. You just get involved in everything.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know many sports that I've not tried my hand at, to be honest. There's some bizarre ones in there as well.
Come on then, what are the bizarre ones?
Have you heard of tug of war? Well, you
have,
obviously.
Yeah, of course I have. Everybody loves a bit of tug of war.
So the tug of war is massive in young farmers. And like they do a kind of national competition for it. So I've done that, absolutely loved that. It's a bizarre one. What else?
Are you allowed to wear studs or are you just in the big boots?
No, yeah, so you wear like ski boots that have got like obviously quite a sharp edge on them, so you can like dig your feet into the ground as best you can to hold on for dear life, basically.
Where about on the rope do you go? Are you at the front or the back? Are you somewhere in the middle?
I was right at the front because, well, I don't have a scary face, I don't think, but I was the one like meant to intimidate the other person at the front of the rope.
I would love to have seen that. That's video footage we need to get for Six Nations or the Women's 15 or something. We need to get some pictures of you doing tug of war.
Absolutely not. No, I have destroyed all of them. Don't you worry.
And then being in small town Bigger, so Donna Kennedy, who's been on the pod before and I know is a legend, and you're her blue-eyed girl. She spoke about you and she was on the pod. She was young farmer. She found lots of different sport, and it was through young farmer she got involved in rugby. How aware were you of rugby when you first started playing?
Not massively. Like, my family is so rugby orientated, and we literally lived at Bigger Rugby Club when we were younger. But when I started, I kind of played with the boys team and then stopped sort of when it got more, when the boys team were getting a bit bigger than I was, and then went back when there was a girls section. But yeah, no, absolutely love it.
And was that, when you played it and then couldn't play it, did you want to go back to it, or were you quite happy with the other sports that you were playing at the time?
To be honest, I just like absolutely love being outside and doing any sport, to be honest. But I think going back to rugby when there was a girls section, like I absolutely loved it. And then it was like tunnel vision from there, kind of see how far I could go. And yet, like the rest of the sports kind of didn't kind of live up to the fun I had at rugby, basically.
See, now I love that, because lots of the women rugby players that have been on this have said they didn't have that tunnel vision. They couldn't see how far it could go, didn't know it was a thing. You were aware that playing for Scotland and being a rugby player was a thing?
Yeah, I think kind of when I was playing sort of like my under 15s level, you had like Rona and Tomo and Nelly and Waz and girls like that were playing and like absolutely killing it. And I think that was like a kind of turning point in the game where it was becoming more like advertised and like just growing a lot more. And I think that's so cool that that was there for me at the time, if that makes sense, for me to look up to them and see that that was possible.
So how were you looking up to them? Because none of them are bigger players. So was this social media or was this seeing things on TV? Where were you able to see that happening?
I think actually it was all like BBC Alba. That was kind of where the games were streamed at that point. So through that, basically. And yeah, my family's obviously very into rugby. So it wouldn't matter who's playing, to be honest. There's always a rugby game on in our house, to be honest.
So who did you look at then? You mentioned heaps of names there. Rona was the first one you went to. Rona, Tomo, Waz, Nelly, all those. Who were you looking at thinking, she's awesome? Like, who is the hero? If there'd been posters, who would have been the poster on your wall?
That's a tough one. I don't think I can pick.
Oh, come on. Pick your favourite.
I think I looked up to Nelly probably the most just because kind of similar sort of position. I played 10 at the time and thought Nelly's just like brilliant rugby player person. So yeah, probably her if I had to choose.
So you're under 15, bigger, watching these games on BBC Alba. How did you make those steps towards becoming the international you are now? What was the pathway for Emma Orr?
I was quite lucky at Bigger. They've got a really great like grassroots kind of youth rugby set up there. So all throughout high school I did like a rugby academy at Bigger. Nick Humphreys, I owe a lot to him. He kind of got me like into the academy and I absolutely loved it there. And then from there did some under-18 Scotland sevens with Graham Blackhall, which absolutely loved that. And then from there went into the national sevens squad, Ronan the Wales. Absolutely loved that, honestly. What a time. And then kind of from there got into the national squad, and then that's kind of where I'm at now. So it's been an absolute whirlwind, to be honest, and it's went rapid, but I would not change my journey for the world at all.
And it's crazy because you are so young, and even those players you mentioned are not old, but they feel like they've been around for a long time. Emma Wassell's been involved in the Scotland squad for 10 years now. Tomo's not quite there, but they've been around for a while. What was it like going into that sevens camp as, you know, the young new kid from Bigger and getting that chance to go and train and perform with those people that you'd looked up to?
It was intimidating, don't get me wrong. I was like a wee farmer girl from Bigger, kind of going into the city. But like the girls were so welcoming and literally like took me in open arms. So absolutely loved it. Don't get me wrong, I was so nervous. But then like when you kind of get onto the pitch and you realise like it's just rugby at the end of the day, like everyone's here for the same thing. And to have fun, basically. So then can all those nerves go away just because you're like, well, we're all here for the same reason and we want to play for our country and stuff. So, yeah, that quickly faded, obviously, the nerves and stuff like that.
Was there a moment where you thought, wow, I'm with Scotland here?
Oh, absolutely. I remember some of the girls were away training with GB at the time. But I remember like playing with like Sinelli and Jenny Maxwell and things like that, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm actually like playing alongside these girls, like what on earth. It was crazy. I still feel like that, but yeah, then I was like, oh my god, like little girl, never been outside of Bigger before, and then to be like playing rugby alongside them was just incredible.
So there's that saying about it's the village that brings up the kid. You then go back to Bigger. What's that like? I would imagine you just become Emma again, that come on, we're going to do this, the farm, the work, the whatever else. But they must be so proud of you at Bigger and in and around the town and at the school. They must be so proud.
Yeah, no, definitely. I absolutely love going back to Bigger and back down to the rugby club and seeing everyone. Like the rugby club has this motto, it's quite cheesy, but I think it's very fitting. It's one club, one family. And it just feels like that when you go back there, like regardless of how long you've been away or if you've been doing other things and you come back and everyone kind of is just like happy to see you there again. It is brilliant.
And you're now Emma Orr, the international rugby player. People are asking for your autograph and for photographs and, you know, can I get your socks and all this kind of stuff. How does that feel? Are you pinching yourself at those moments?
Oh, 100%. Like, a good memory is the last game of Six Nations just there against Ireland. And, like, as you walk from the Dam Health back to the changing rooms, there's the tunnel and there's just kids and families everywhere. And there's people, like, wanting you to sign their foreheads and things like that. And it's like, what is going on? Like, it's crazy. Like, wanting your boots, like you say, and socks and things like that. But it's just incredible to see like how much the women's game's growing and the support that we get now is just it blows my mind every time. Like, honestly, it's absolutely love it.
Right, honesty call. Do you practice your signature?
Oh, obviously.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Yeah, everybody would, and if they say no, they're lying. So you're playing on the Damn Health. I'm one of the ones that stands there at the tunnel. My daughter Katie wouldn't leave, and Chloe took about 4 hours after the what game was it? The Wales game, and we had to wait because Katie needed to see everybody, and Chloe was last there. That support. It's not filling the Damn Health yet, but that's definitely an ambition. Mm-hmm. I spoke to Emma Wassell recently. She was saying cheesy, but it feels like the 16th player. How important is it to have those people on the touchline supporting you?
Like, absolutely massive. Waz is right there with, like, when you're playing and you hear, like, the crowd calling, like, Scotland, and you're at, like, the pressure's on maybe or something like that, like, it honestly lifts you so much. And a lot of the time, if there's a stop in play, and, you, like, most of the time we'll come in as a group and we'll, like, just listen to the crowd and, like, listen to who's all there around us and who's shouting to support us, and we remember, like, why we're here and who we're doing it for. And it, like, it's crazy the support and what that can do to your performance as a team. So yeah, no, it's like, I can't put into words how much it means to us, to be honest.
And it's so different when you go away with the Sevens, because there's that little band of family that go away, and not everybody's family can be there all the time, so you kind of get adopted by the hardcore group that go. What's it like going away with Sevens, smaller group, maybe smaller crowd, you know, that, you know, game after game, having to peak at the right time? It's a completely different experience from just getting ready for a 15s game.
Yeah, no, it is. It's completely like, it's a completely different game. I remember when we were away doing at Rugby Europe, Shona Campbell's family are like such great supporters, and they were all there in these sort of tartan bucket hats. And it's crazy, like, how they just like, they're your mum and dad for the weekend. Like, it is brilliant. But no, it's such good vibes, like Rona with her ukulele, and like, just, I'd say it's maybe more chill, like a more kind of chilled vibe to it. Then obviously when it's time to switch on, like we do. So I do like love that side of my rugby journey as well. Like, Sevens has been great.
And a Sevens highlight? What's the Sevens highlight?
I think probably it's got to be the Commonwealth Games. Just last summer there, that was like probably my favourite rugby memory to this day. It was just unbelievable, to be honest, to represent like Scotland, Team Scotland, and do it with the Scotland girls. It's just amazing. Loved every minute.
And you were staying at the university, but you had to share with some of the other sports, didn't you?
Mm-hmm, we did.
The lawn bowlers had to, they moved in, and you had to quieten down a bit at night time.
I know, we I think we were in with the lawn bowlers, and I actually can't remember what other sport it was. But yeah, there's some, I think one of my, actually in our like apartment bit, we had a lawn bowler next door to us, and she was great chat. Like, she was joining in with the band and everything. It was so funny, so good.
And being involved in that multi-sport, I know it wasn't quite an Olympic village. There was, you know, you were out of the university and you got bussed in, but did you feel the energy of that, the Commonwealth Games, or was it just a Sevens tournament?
No, I think it was like the village was so cool, kind of seeing all these different countries and swapping like pin badges and things like that. We had a competition, see who could get the most different pins and things like that, and just chatting away to people and learning about their sport and things like that was so special. It's something you don't really get to experience in rugby that much. So yeah, like, the multi-sport event was brilliant.
And playing in that stadium, I mean, the Sunday, the place was absolutely rammed. England Lionesses won the European Championship that Sunday night. There was so many eyes on women's sport. Do you feel some responsibility towards that?
I think, like, I feel like any women playing sport is brilliant. Like, and for the Lionesses to be so successful and to have like just as big a crowd to watch like the women's sevens as the men's sevens and things like that is brilliant, and it's so cool to see like how kind of equal it can be. So yeah, absolutely brilliant.
Is that something that you talk about as a squad, that legacy idea, being role models for younger kids?
Yeah, definitely. A big part of our journey to the Commonwealth Games last year was Churas Brosnick, I think I'm probably not pronouncing that very well, but Scott Forrest brought that in. So it basically means on a journey to inspire. So basically we were on a journey to inspire kind of the next little girls to pick up a rugby ball and play sevens or 15s, whatever it may be, not even rugby, any sport, to be honest. So yeah, that was a big sort of part of our team like goal as well, like regardless of how we did on the pitch, like we'd hopefully still be inspiring little girls. So yeah, loved that.
How cool is it to think that there are kids running around pretending to be Emma Orr?
It blows my mind, to be honest. I still feel like a kid, to be honest. But no, it's crazy. So can't believe it.
And when you were growing up, and you've spoken about watching those games on BBC Alba, when you were playing, was there a I'm like Helen Nelson or I'm like Lisa Thompson, or were the male players still the ones you would pretend to be?
I think probably still like kind of looking up to the men's players probably, and like can try to be one of the men's players. But I think like that's probably changed in the kind of last 5-10 years. Probably like girls are more comparing themselves to like, I want to be like Chloe and I want to be like Waz and things like that. So which is so special. I think that's happened over quite a short period of time, which is so exciting.
The group are really close, and you know, the girls that you've spoken about have been through that transition from it being amateur and having to work full time and try and train full time, and then that hybrid contract, and now we've got players that are full-time rugby players. Do they ever get the young ones in the corner and tell them you've no idea how lucky you are?
Oh yeah, there is quite a lot of times where the young team will maybe be moaning about something like ridiculous, really not worth moaning about, and then you get people being like, you don't know like what it used to be like, obviously in a joking way. But no, it's great, and it's such a, like, it just feels like we're all the same age, to be honest. Like, we're all just, like,
you're all
together
daft.
And stuff like that. Yeah,
you're all daft.
Basically.
Yeah. I mentioned Donna Kennedy before, who, you know, is an absolute legend of the game and is so proud that you've come out from bigger to, you know, do what you've done. And she's really hopeful for what the future looks like for you. How much do you have to do with Donna? Is that a nice mentorship to have?
Oh, absolutely. It's so cool. No, I kind of, like, I'd always heard about her, like, didn't really, like, know her at all personally or anything like that until maybe a couple of years ago. And she reached out to me over Facebook Messenger, I think it was. And then literally every...
It would be Facebook, because like, unfortunately Donna's like me and she's old, so it would be Facebook. Yeah. The young team are all on Instagram, but Donna's still on Facebook.
So yeah, I think she like messaged me and saying like a really nice message basically. And now every game since, so I usually give her a message or I'll see her at the game or something like that, which is a really, really nice kind of relationship to have. And it means a lot to me that she's kind of buying into my journey and stuff like that, which is really, really special to me.
And there's a group of former internationals that are really being proactive about the support they give to you guys and trying to tell the story. There's a play being written about the first Women's World Cup, and there's all sorts of things going to raise the profile. How important has it been to learn about what's gone before you?
Oh, massive, I think. Pre-kind of World Cup, we had the Thistles, which is the kind of former internationalists come in. And that was just such an eye-opener to see kind of the journey they'd been on. And now we actually, to every match, we take the first rugby ball that the Scotland women played with, which is so special. I think it's got like all the signatures on it, so you can pick out like Donna's and like Lee Coburn's and stuff like that. So yeah, no, it's massive, to be honest, and I really like love the relationship we have with them, and the support they give us is absolutely brilliant.
You've got that motto at Bigger, and it sounds like the Scottish environment's not too dissimilar to being that big family.
Oh, definitely, actually. I think that's comes with rugby in general, to be honest. It's such a like a community, and like has that kind of family feeling, and the national team is like follows that suit massively. It's just like so welcoming, and like everyone's from like different backgrounds and different kind of journeys and stuff like that, and to come together and do it for rugby basically is so special.
Right, you mentioned it, and you mentioned them coming in before the World Cup. Now you've got players there that was their first one, and they've missed out, and they've been close, and they've tried to qualify. You rock up, first go, yeah, let's go to New Zealand, everybody. Come on, let's go have some fun. Were you turning to some of the old bucks and saying, well, how easy is this? Like, how easy is qualification?
No, absolutely not. I think I would be put in my place if I said that. But no, they definitely did all the hard work and kind of going through that qualification journey and stuff. And I just came along there. So no, hats off. A lot of hard work went into it before kind of I was on the scene.
Where were you when Sarah Law kicked that goal?
I was watching it, actually, at my boyfriend's house. Which is actually just crazy to think, like, because I remember him saying to me, but like, oh, where, like, are you kind of, have you got FOMO, like you feel like you're missing out, and there I was like, oh, like this time next year it's gonna be my goal, like I want to be there in that squad, and then I made my debut the following Six Nations kind of, which is just, it's mental. But no, I think that is kind of a big moment in my rugby journey there, and watching that and being like, I want to be there, like I want to be part of this. So yeah.
The hairs on the back of my neck stood up there when you said you were watching it, and you said, in a year's time, I'm going to be there, because that's not a privilege players have had before. The games weren't televised. You couldn't watch Sarah Law kick that goal. You know, you wouldn't have known that they were thousands of miles away playing a qualification game. So the game has completely changed. If you had a crystal ball and you could look into it and say in 10 years' time, what do you think it's going to look like?
Oh my God, that's a very good question. I think the way the game has grown, even in the last kind of 5 years, like I think it's only on the up. So can only get bigger and better, I think. So yeah, it'd be really cool to see a women's British and Irish Lions as well in the future. That would be sick.
Yeah, that's interesting. That was actually on my list of things to ask about. We'll come back to that one. So okay. You're sitting there watching it. You turn to your boyfriend saying, a year's time, that's where I'm going to be.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Six Nations debut. I mean, that's the stuff dreams are made of, really, to play for your country. I know we'll get to the World Cup in a minute, but the Six Nations is still, you know, it rolls around every year. you see it, you know it's there, you've been and watched, you felt it. What was that like, making your debut?
Oh, it's actually so, it gives me goosebumps thinking back to it, to be honest. Just, it was incredible. Like, it actually kind of happened because of COVID. So I kind of got thrown into it. So I think Hannah and a lot of the team had been wiped out with COVID at this point. So I was starting, and I honestly, like, I came into the training squad for the Six Nations. And for the opening game, I was like the 20 kind of fifth man, sort of the reserve. And I was like fully expecting to be that for the whole tournament and just kind of see what it's like and being in around training and stuff. And then to be starting next week, I was like, oh my God. But it was just brilliant. Like I turned 19 just after. So it was just absolutely mental. It was down in Wales. Mum and Dad couldn't get down because it was lambing time, so they had to be busy. But they made it to the game the following week. So, yeah, it was just unbelievable.
There's so many bits of that I love, being so young. Mum and Dad are like, we've got to get the lambing done.
I know. But no, they made it to the following week, so that was okay.
That's cool. So you must have had 10,000 messages on all social media, WhatsApp, like just wishing you well. How are you able to stay calm? I mean, I think I would be running around peeing my pants. How do you prepare?
It is difficult. I think a lot of the messages like kind of get me so like excited for it and ready for it, because you see messages from people that you've not spoke to in a while and you're like, oh, they're thinking about me, or they're like watching this weekend and stuff. And it just means so much to like, for people to take time out of their day to give me a message and just like say go well and stuff. But yeah, usually I'll phone Mum and Dad or one of my siblings or something like that. They're quite good at bring me back to earth and kind of tell me that it's just a rugby game at the end of the day. So yeah.
Be careful with all those messages, because they're going to want tickets, right? So just just be careful with those. So you mentioned their mum and dad and siblings. They will bring you back down to earth. It's important mm-hmm. to have that support mechanism around you. You've got Bigger Rugby Club, you've got Donna Kennedy, you've got Scottish Thistles, you've got the experienced players. But when you go back home, it's right, get your boots on, you've got some work to do, and you stop being Emma or the rugby player and back to just being daughter or sister or... It's important to switch off. Does that help you become a better player, do you think?
Yeah, 100%. I think like everything's about balance. I would say, and as much as I like, most people are like, Emma, stop talking about rugby for 1 minute. It's brilliant to be at home and have the farm and that kind of other side of my life where it doesn't really matter how I've performed. Like, they're still going to love me regardless, if that makes sense. So it's brilliant and to have them and for them to be there in the good times and bad.
Has nobody tapped you on the shoulder, no strength and conditioning coach, and said, Emma, you're supposed to be resting, you go and take the weight off your feet, you can't be lambing, have you not had that chat yet?
There was one week I had got injured, and like our doctor or physio was like, right, Emma, you need to rest for the next like 2 days. But I was like going home for that week and I was like, yeah, I'll be resting, don't worry. I got home and I was like, Dad, like, I'm meant to be resting. And he was like, ah, it's fine, like, come on. And I was like straight outside basically helping with the sheep. So
yeah, there's no injuries in the farm. On the farm, just get on with it. Unless your leg's hanging off, you still get on with it.
Exactly.
So there might come a point in the next 5 years where studies are done, full-time professional athlete, you know, who knows where that will be and what that will look like, because we've no idea. Like you said, the growth of the game has been unbelievable. So the next 5 years could be even more, you know, insane. Would there be a point where you could be happy just doing rugby?
Yeah, 100%. I think, to be honest, that's probably the goal at the moment. I'm just trying to get through uni and bank that and then do rugby for as long as I can, I think, and then think of a backup plan after that, to be honest.
Okay. But so the farm's always there?
Hopefully, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And you mentioned the World Cup and the Thistles coming to speak to you. And I was, you know, I was sort of making fun about you found it easy. A World Cup is, you know, the Six Nations is a big deal. The World Cup comes around every 4 years. Players can be sensational for 3 years and then have a bad World Cup year and don't get to go. Everything kind of fell into place and you get to go to a World Cup, not just the World Cup, but World Cup in New Zealand. I mean, talking about dreams and some of the players who had been through unsuccessful qualifications couldn't believe their luck. You must have been in dreamland when you're getting on that plane. You know, you went through all the preparations, you had the leave-in dinners, you did all those things to go to New Zealand. I mean, now I'm going to shut up for hopefully a few minutes because there must be so much to talk about from that experience.
Oh, honestly, it was just incredible. Like, obviously coming from a farm, you don't get to go abroad that much or on holidays and stuff, so it was like obviously the longest time I've been away from home, and the furthest I'd ever, like, never been abroad hardly, like, if it wasn't for rugby. So to be going to a World Cup in New Zealand, like, it was just incredible, to be honest. And like the kind of playing out in Whangarei was just unreal. I remember when our last game against New Zealand, we drove, like, the team bus was driving into the stadium, and like usually the bus is quite loud and chatty and things like that, and we get to the gates where we can see like all the crowd there to watch their home team, the Black Ferns, playing us, and the bus fell silent and everyone's just like taking in kind of how many people are there, and like it was just incredible. I think that'll stay with me forever, to be honest, that feeling of like, oh shit, but also like, this is so cool. So yeah, that and facing the Haka as well is just brilliant, like hearing their crowd and like their national anthem and things like that, and then like getting to sing our national anthem and picking out the little like Scotland flags in the crowd and stuff, and like the traveling support from home like there is just like incredible as well. It was like one of those moments where they're your mum and dad for the time there and stuff. It's just absolutely brilliant. Another like core memory, to be honest, from that trip was we had a lot of birthdays like when we were away, and obviously they're spending it like away from their families and stuff, so before we were kind of getting set to come home, we went to a beach, I can't remember the name of it now, but it was like beautiful sunset and like gorgeous sand and stuff like that, and we had a kind of like birthday party and like a little campfire and stuff, and we honestly sat there, it could have like almost the whole night, like singing songs, like playing ukulele and stuff like that, and just like basically reminiscing of like the month or two that we'd been there, and just laughing and talking about all the stories, and just like being so grateful and knowing how lucky we are to be there in that small group, and that like these times don't last forever, basically. It was just like amazing. That'll stay with me forever as well, to be honest, that moment.
I've got no doubt. It's class hearing you and sort of drifting away. I can see in your eyes that you're sort of taking yourself back there. You guys, the squad, are quite active on social media, which I think really helps, and you're all quite accessible still. You know, the game's not got to the crazy point where you can't reply to things or you're having to stay off social media. So we were able to get a glimpse, you know, not many of us were able to be there, but you had so many experiences that you can't get unless you're at a World Cup in a Scotland squad. When you were invited to the Marae by the local people to experience that culture, were you pinching yourself or were you thinking this is just like being it bigger?
No, that was definitely a, like, these people have, like, kind of let us come in to see their way of life and their culture. And that was brilliant to see. Like, they did a haka for us and we sang Scottish songs. We sang kind of their kind of songs. And it was just so cool to, like, we're from Scotland and like the other side of the world, and they welcomed us like we're a family. So again, that is just, it shows you the power of rugby, basically, and the power of just being like kind and welcoming. So yeah, that was another brilliant memory we've got.
And then when you're in the hotel, I know you, I think it was Rona that organised a bit of a social with, I think it was Japan and France, was that right?
Yes.
When you were in the hotel, there was a bit of a, well, just a social event. Those are the things that, again, can only happen in a World Cup. You Six Nations, it's business, you know, everybody flies in, preparation, game, and then sort of dinner and away. But being able to spend time with opposition in the hotel, another unique moment.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like, just, it's so cool to see nations coming together when you're like enemies basically off the pitch, and you're like analysing each other through the week and things like that, and then and like knocking lumps out each other on the pitch, and then you have like a drink after the game together. It's just such a cool like quality of the game and of sport basically. So yeah, no, that was great fun. I think one of the other socials we had was like a silent disco, and it was like just like a random crowd of like different people from teams and stuff, but it was great fun as well.
So you're sitting on the beach, campfire on. I would imagine it was a bit of a love-in, telling everybody how much it meant and how much, how special you are to each other. Who's sitting either side of you at that campfire? Who's the buddies? Who's the ones that are closest to you in the squad?
I think I was roommates with Eliane Clark for kind of 2 weeks of the trip. So we were quite close. I think Eliane and I think probably Eva or Shona as well. I think like those girls mean a lot to me. Just like being through kind of the pathway together and doing sevens together and things like that. So on similar journeys basically, yeah. So it's so cool that we kind of got to do that experience together as well.
And you're sitting there reflecting back on the World Cup. Were you able to take moments and look ahead and say, we want this again, or let's go again, or let's get better in the Six Nations? Or was it just about those moments that you shared there?
I think probably a bit of both, like nostalgia of where we'd all come from, being like kind of younger, and then to where we were at that moment in time and how kind of proud of each other we were, and then also kind of like look into the future and what's to come and how much we just want to get better and kick on and kind of keep getting to do these experiences together and things.
So it's fueled the fire, you're saying?
Yeah, that's the word or the phrase I was looking for. But yeah, definitely just to kind of come out of the back of maybe a World Cup that we wanted to do better in, and then kind of going into Six Nations and getting two wins as well as like where we want to be heading on that upward kind of spiral. So hopefully it continues.
It's been crazy from that moment of your debut to think Commonwealth Games, World Cup, you know, biggest crowd you've had at Damn Health, playing against it, you know, these things are just, they're just growing and growing. It's tough in Scotland because the player pool is small, but the competition now in the centre is tough. There's some big decisions coming for those positions. What does it look like in the squad when there's that competition before, you know, Wasp got, I think, 54 caps on the bounce. It was just, sure she's in. Now, all of a sudden, out injured for a little while, other players have come in. Jade was missing at the start of Six Nations, other players come in. That's exciting for us as spectators, but what does it make up for the squad?
I think it does bring that kind of friendly fire in training and things like that. And to be honest, I think only good things come of it, because like it's so good to see there being more competition and more kind of fight for positions and things like that. And ultimately, like if you're being competitive for your position, you're going to get better. You're going to push your teammates and push the team and drive the standard. So to be honest, as hard as it is, like competing for positions against friends, like it is kind of good for all and the greater good of the squad and the results. So yeah, it's good. It's definitely a good thing.
And you're a wanted lady because you've done sevens, you've done 15s. You know, GB, I've got no doubt, are keeping an eye on what you're up to, but you're busy with studies and being a 15s player. How do you make those decisions? How do you decide? Obviously, three Scottish players have gone to GB Sevens and are playing in the circuit, but there's a big competition coming up in the autumn. Six Nations rolls around again very quickly. Are you able to do both?
I would love to be honest.
Put you on the spot here.
I do absolutely love Sevens and 15s equally. I think 15s is the right thing for me to do the now while I'm still studying and can be based in Scotland and things. But Sevens is definitely something I'd love to do in the future and to give my all to. And I thought, and I think I couldn't give my all to both, if that makes sense. I would rather give 100 to one thing and then hopefully get a chance to do Sevens again in the future. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at the moment.
So when your boyfriend asked about FOMO, when you're watching the GB Sevens and you see Rona and Tomo and Shona out and about and performing in the Sevens, is there a bit of you watching going, I'd love to be doing that?
Yeah, no, there definitely is, especially kind of coming off the back of that, the brilliant Sevens season we had, kind of the Commonwealth Games here. I definitely have FOMO. But similarly, absolutely love 15s and love the opportunities I get with that as well. So I guess you can't have it all. I'm loving where I'm at the now.
You can't have it all, but you've got the option of having it all, and there's something different in there for all of us. So 15s is coming. We've got this new tournament coming up in the autumn, which is causing a bit of a stir. I have to admit, I'm still not 100% sure I fully understand it, but it's going to mean that there's more competition. You probably get to play countries that maybe historically have not been opposition. That's exciting times, isn't it?
Yeah, so exciting. I think it's just evidence of how where the women's game is going, that we can have these kind of tournaments, and to play lots of different nations is class, because you get to experience different types of rugby and how to deal with those challenges. So yeah, so exciting, and it's what we set out to do at the start of the Six Nations was qualify for tier two of the WXV, and we did that. So looking forward to getting a strong pre-season and heading into that.
Yeah, it's going to be so good. Are you good at the analysis bit? Do you enjoy that bit of it?
I do enjoy it. because I feel like I just don't pick up on things very well. The coaches are so good at it, so I'll just hear what they have to say and then kind of agree with them, basically.
Yeah, just let me play. I just want to play. Just throw me the ball and I'll be fine. Yeah, that's the analysis. So you mentioned it before, and I am keen to hear. The Barbarians at the moment is the only high-profile invitational team that is accessible to women, and I think anybody that's been involved in it has loved it, but it's not at the size and magnitude and importance as a Lions or a Lionesses, mm-hmm. or I'm not sure what name would be given to it. Is that a dream you hope happens in your playing career?
Yeah, no. As soon as I kind of seen that was a possibility for women, it's just I want to do that. I'm determined to do that one day. I think that would be so cool. Kind of growing up and watching the men's Lions tours and things and seeing Scots be successful in that, it's just kind of fueled that fire that I would love to do a women's version of that, to be honest, too.
Do women players ever actually get asked about this stuff? Or is it through reps that go and, you know, because there's been a consultation paper about it and all this, but I always wonder, who do they actually ask?
I don't actually know. That's quite a good question. I don't think any of us as players have been asked about it. It's maybe more of something someone above us. I'm not sure.
But if they asked you, you're saying, yeah, go for it, we're all in.
Definitely.
Yeah, it would be an amazing thing. I don't know how it would work, if it would go alongside. I think maybe it's standalone. What country do you go to? Because the power in women's rugby is different in mm-hmm. some ways from men. But yeah, so we've come from bigger, played sevens, been to Commie Games, World Cup in New Zealand, Six Nations. Surely you've completed it. Like, do you need to keep going?
Oh, 100%. I think I'm like so grateful to have got to do those like massive events. But ultimately, like, I just absolutely love it, and I don't want to stop any time in the future, to be honest. So no, I'm just like want to keep going and see how far I can go and then Scotland can go, to be honest.
So you are, you know, young international player already. It feels like you're established, but there's still so much to come. If you were to pick out a couple of players that maybe are not quite there yet, that are maybe not internationals yet, but you think give them a season, two seasons, we're going to be talking about them, who would it be? Give us your tips for the future.
I think
this is your chance to either make or break friendships. You realise that?
I know, you're really thrown me in it today. I think obviously I'm training at the Edinburgh based regional training centre now, so train with a lot of the futures. And Alex Stewart, she plays at Edinburgh Uni as a back row. She's absolutely brilliant. Like, the way she applies herself and just her skill set is ridiculous, to be honest. Who else? Obviously Fran, she's absolutely unreal. Like, we've seen that in the Six Nations, electric.
Crazy start, because now everybody's like, Rona who? Like, like, we've got Fran, like, it's fine. Rona, you can go and play seven, Rona, because now we've got Fran.
she's been absolutely brilliant. Also, like, Holly McIntyre, also an Edinburgh Uni player. She's a centre and she's like so good too. Plays a bit of sevens and 15s as well. So really exciting as well. There's too many.
That's a good start. We like that. It's a good start. Who have you found really difficult to play against? Who's the opponent where you think, oh no?
That's a hard one. I think, what, in the Six Nations or
any opponent? I mean, you student faced the Haka. That's and I've spoken to Tomo and Wass and a few others about it, and they said that they were between being a supporter and a player. They wanted to watch, but then they also had to remember they were going to play against them. So they were kind of caught in two worlds. I mean, that must be challenging, playing against the whole team. But are there individuals that you look at and think that I'm going to be busy today?
I think that New Zealand game's a good one, because we were kind of like standing there being like fangirls, kind of watching these the Black Ferns players, but also being like, oh, we've got to play these girls now. But I think the All Blacks 10, she was incredible. Like, she's just an absolute wizard, to be honest. All of their backs, like Teresa Fitzpatrick and Stacey Waka, were just like ridiculous on the ball. I was like, could not keep up at all. So they were definitely hard opponents. There's a lot of English girls as well that I don't really want to play against ever again, to be honest. They made me look a bit silly, to be honest, but it's just so cool.
You did all right. You did all right. Danny, you worried. You did all right. Now, it's an interesting thing, because you're spoken about, when you listen to the pundits, a lot of them name Emma Orr as a threat for Scotland, and somebody that, you know, if you can get on ball, we'll do some damage. Do you get that impression that you're being watched and being marked, or are you still just playing?
Not really, to be honest. I feel like when I'm playing, I just try to completely like block out everything else, to be honest. So like, I wouldn't say I feel that at the moment, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Just you keep feeling that and keep playing the way you're playing. So the last question, and this is something I didn't prime you for, so there might be an and an ah, but for me, happiness is egg-shaped. For you, Emma, or happiness is?
friends and family.
So boring. so boring. I thought we were going to get something to do with lamin or ukulele playing, but we went with friends and family. Right, okay. No, that's fine. That says
can
a lot.
Go again?
Yeah, yeah, go again. Emma Orr, for you, happiness is?
I don't actually know. No.
Ice cream.
Chocolate. Let's go
chocolate. Finishing my exams. Emma, I've absolutely loved speaking to you. Thank you so much. You're a busy person in between exams and training, so I really appreciate you giving me some time. Thank you very, very much, and all the best. Hopefully see you soon.
No, thank you very much for having me.
Class. Absolutely loved it. The future is very bright. So honest, so humble, but an absolute destroyer. Sevens, 15s, doesn't matter. She can do it all. And just finished her exam in the library to chat to me before disappearing off to training, and then probably got some work to do on the farm as well. It's just nonstop, but I'm looking forward to see what she brings in the future. If you enjoyed it, you can get the podcast on Apple, Acast and Spotify. Download it, tell your friends, stream it, share it with your pals, leave a review if you've enjoyed. You can watch on Facebook and YouTube, and hopefully we'll see you all again very, very soon. We've got some exciting news coming up that I am keen to share with you. In the meantime, my name is Bruce Aitchison from the Happiness Is podcast, and my happiness is egg-shaped, and I hope you are all safe and well. See you all again very, very soon.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.